You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Tehillim podcast. Sefer Tehillim is often thought of as a book of prayers, right? Tefillot of different sorts. There are tefillot bakasha, right? Tefillot that ask for something, tefillot of thanks, tefillot of praise to Hashem. And indeed, the name of the book Tehillim, right, is from the word Tehillah, right, which means praise, which emphasizes this last category of prayer. Many, if not all of the Mizmorim in Sefer Tehillim were originally written for liturgical purposes. And over time, right, throughout history, many of them were sort of reincarnated for other liturgical purposes. And Halacha is full of cases where Chazal assigned certain Mizmorei Tehillim to be said during certain parts of the daily tefillah, on certain fast days, or on certain chagim, on holidays, or on certain other occasions. And then we, right, either as individuals or as communities, often choose mizmorim, which we feel are appropriate for certain occasions. And we say them as a way of expressing our deepest needs. Some of the needs, for example, that come up for us are things such as peace and security, the need for a secure income, or the need for plentiful rain here in Israel. And if the main topic of casual conversation in this part of the world is any indication this week, perhaps the deepest need of all that we have is a real snow day. And with that in mind, I turn today to Mizmor Kuf Mem Zayin, the first of two Mizmorim in Sefer Tehillim which mentions snow. The Mizmor opens with a call to praise Hashem. It says, Hallelujah, ki tov zamra Eloheinu, ki na'im navati la. Right? Hallelujah, sing praises to Hashem, right? That's what the word Hallelujah means, basically. And why? Why should we sing praises to Hashem? Ki tov zamra Eloheinu, ki na'im navati la. Because it is good to do so, right? It is good to sing to our God. Ki na'im na'avati la. It is beautiful. What is beautiful? The tehillah of Hashem, right? Note that this word tehillah, right, is the singular form of tehillim, right? Going back to the name of the book Tehillim that we mentioned earlier. The mizmor, which opens with this pasuk, then proceeds to praise Hashem for all sorts of things, right? The details of which we'll look in a moment. But first, let's look at the overall structure of the mizmor. This mizmor, Mizmor Kuf Mem Zayin, can be broken up into three sections. Each of these sections opens up with a declaration that we should sing out to praise God, the first being the pasuk that we just read. Within each of these three sections, Hashem is then praised for different types of things. On the one hand, he is praised for his greatness, Gadluto, right, his awesome control of the nature of the world and the nature and all of the laws that rule them. On the other hand, he is praised for those things which indicate the connection between him, right, between God and the inhabitants of the world, right, particularly God's interest and concern for his human and animal creations. As is pointed out in the Daat Mikra commentary, which does a very clear job of analyzing the structure of this mizmor, the Mishorer juxtaposes God's greatness with his humbleness, right? And as is mentioned in that commentary, right, this evokes the idea, right, mentioned by Chazal, right? B'chol makom she'ata motze gedulato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shem ata motze invitanuto. Wherever one finds mention of Hashem's greatness, of his awesome power, that is where you will find his humbleness. Right, his ability to relate to the smallest of his creatures. God's boundless power in the Mizmor is intertwined with his care for the essentially powerless. And as we see throughout each section, and I'll point this out, there are examples in each section of Hashem's Gvura and his Anava. The first section is Psukim Aleph to Vav. Right? And it starts with anava. Right? First, we have our opening pasuk to sing out to God, and then the first thing that is brought is an example of anava. the pasuk says, Bone Yerushalayim Hashem, Bone Yerushalayim Hashem, Nidche Yisrael Yichanes, Harofe Lishvure Lev, HaMechabesh La'atzvotam. Right, Anava, recall, right, is Hashem's interaction with us. Right, so here in these first two psukim, right, what is Hashem's interaction with us? He is the one who builds Jerusalem. He is the one who ingathers our exiles. Right, clearly Hashem's anava involves greatness. Right, the rebuilding of Yerushalayim and the bringing together of all the exiles is not something for the faint-hearted. But the emphasis is on his care for his creations. Right, harofe lishvure lev, hamechabesh la'atzvotam. This could be understood as, on the simplest level, God's care for the sick or the brokenhearted, in the literal sense. Or, as the Ibn Ezra and the Radak and others suggest, it could be connected to the previous pasuk. What is being referred to is Hashem's care for those who are in mourning or are suffering from the destruction of Yerushalayim, of the Galut. And of course, it could be both. And this wouldn't be the only place, both in Tanakh and in later sources of Chazal, where the mourning of where mourning and healing in general are connected to the ups and downs of Am Yisrael and Yerushalayim specifically. Psukim Dalet Hey, the next psukim, now jump to speaking about Hashem's gedula, right? His greatness, his awesomeness as the divine. Mone mispar lakochavim lechulam shemot yikra, gadol Adonenu v'rav koach letvunato en mispar. Right. How is Hashem described here? He knows the numbers of the stars. He can call them by name, right? A feat which is incomprehensible to humans. We may know a lot of the stars. We might be able to recognize and name a lot of the stars, but even the most knowledgeable astronomer knows that for every known star, there are countless unknown stars, right? For Hashem, the inability to count stars, right, does not apply. For him, the infinite is finite. What is infinite, however, right, as the next part of the pasuk implies, l'tvunato en mispar, right? Mone mispar l'kochavim, but l'tvunato en mispar, right? What is infinite is his tvuna, his perception, his understanding of things, right? All sorts of things, right? Pasuk vav then goes back to anava, me'oded anavim Hashem, mashpil rishaim adei aretz. Right, that Hashem encourages, lifts up the poor, the downtrodden, and he lowers the evil people, right, down into the earth. Already in this section, right, after reading the section, one realizes, and you might have noticed this, right, that despite this division between Hashem's gadlut and his anava, that the two are actually intertwined. Right? Yes, on the one hand, the message is that despite the greatness of God, right, his loftiness, he also cares. Right, he cares about the little ones here on earth. But the other message is that the very qualities which account for his greatness are the same which account for his compassion. Right? The same God who can count every star, who knows the name of each soldier in his heavenly legions, is the same God who would try to lift up the lowliest person, who could keep track of every individual and know who is Nanav, worthy of being lifted up, and who is a Rasha, who deserves to be pushed down. Section 2 begins in Pasuk Zayin, with another call to sing out to God. Enu l'Hashem b'toda, zamru l'Eloheinu b'chinor. And then from Pasuk Chet through Pasuk Yud Aleph, continues again with these themes that we've already seen of Hashem's gadlut and his anava. The first section, again, being about his gadlut. Hamechase shamayim be'avim, hamechin la'aretz matar, hamatzmiach harim chatzir. Right? In this first section, God, again, is the God who controls the laws of nature. The clouds, the rains, right? The subsequent growth on the earth. Right? Then, pasuk tet to Yud Aleph, we see examples of his anava. Noten livehima lachma, livnei orev asher yikrau. Right? Hashem is the one who gives each animal the food that it needs, right? To the ravens, it gives the food that it needs when they call out, right? There are other psukim in Tanakh which use the same image. The raven, right, who has this very startling caw, like very loud, right, is perceived as calling out to Hashem, and Hashem answers by giving it food. Lo bigvurat. Before we get to the next pasuk, right? Again, the connection here between the gadlut of Hashem and his anava is clear, right? His gadlut is apparent in his ability to control the laws of nature, the rain, the clouds, and the rain. His anava is that in those very laws of nature, it is those very laws of nature which provide those of us down on earth with food, right? It is the rain that which causes the earth to give forth food, and it is, or to give forth growth, and it is that growth which the animals and the people eat, right? So the invitanuto of Hashem is within the very gadlut of Hashem. The next psukim, lo vigvurat hasus yechpatz, lo bishokeha ish yirtze, rotze Hashem et yireav et hamiyachalim lechasto. Hashem is not interested, these psukim say, in the strength and the mightiness of the horse or the strength of a man's shins, of his legs, right? Not that Hashem disdains these things, right? After all, Hashem created these things too. But they are not the ikar. They are not the most important thing. Rather, rotze Hashem et yireav. Right? Hashem is most interested in those who fear him. Right? Hamiyachalim lechasto, right, who look for his chesed. In order to understand this fully, one has to fully appreciate the idea of being a fearer of God, a Yirei Hashem, right? So on one level, you can certainly understand that Hashem is most interested not whether a person is strong, but whether a person listens to God, right? Follows his Torah, follows his laws. But the term Yirat Hashem has a very particular meaning, certainly in many places in Tanakh. For example, if you look in Vayikra Perek Yudtet, right, Parshat Kedoshim, which, as you know, is a long list of laws. There are two psukim of that very long list where the idea of Yirat Hashem comes up. Right, one is the pasuk which talks about standing up for an old person or generally respecting old people. Mipnei seva takum v'hadarta pnei zaken v'yareta me'elokecha ani Hashem. Right? Somehow the idea of Yirat HaElokim is connected to this idea of standing up for and respecting an elderly person. The other pasuk is the pasuk Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol. Lo Tekalel Cheresh Mipnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol. Again, V'yareta Melokecha Ani Hashem. Right? What is the connection between these two? Why of all the mitzvot, why are these connected to the idea of fearing God? So this is cleared up in the Gemara, where it's talking about the mitzvah of Mipnei Seva Takum. It says that's the sort of mitzvah that is very much tied up with fear of God. Why? Because, I mean, the Gemara, I'll paraphrase the Gemara. Imagine sitting on a bus, right? And there's an elderly person coming on the bus, but you don't feel like standing up. So you could very easily bury yourself in your book or look out the window and pretend not to notice the elderly person. And in that way, quote, get away with not doing the mitzvah of Mipnei Seva Takum. But the Gemara says that you in your heart know the truth, and so does Hashem, meaning you might be able to fool other people, but Yirat Elokim will force you to get up and do the mitzvah properly, right? And the same could be said for not putting a stumbling block before a blind person or not cursing a deaf person, the other pasuk, right? Those are both examples of people who will never know that you were the one who did this thing to them, if they know that it was done at all. intentionally, and therefore you could, again, quote, get away with it. But your At Elokim tells you otherwise, right? You don't do it because you have this innate sense that is the wrong thing to do, right, which is because of this overarching feeling of there's somebody above you. Right? And those two psukim together are both examples of situations where vulnerable populations could easily be taken advantage of, and Yirat Elokim makes sure that we know what it is that we are expected to do. Not coincidentally, and this will connect this shiur to the upcoming holiday of Purim, the idea of Yirat Elokim is also connected to Amalek, right? A very long shiur that we don't have time to go into right now, but also in Sefer Devarim, right, where the Torah recalls the battle with Amalek, they too are referred to as lacking Yirat Elokim. And what is it that Amalek does? They attack Bnei Israel from behind, right? All the old and the sick and the children and the weak, right, who can't defend themselves. That is dafka who Amalek attacks, right? Again, the same taking advantage of a vulnerable population. So if you put this idea of what Yirat Elokim means into our mizmor, right, it is certainly appropriate, because the whole mizmor, when talking about the anava aspect of Hashem, is saying that despite Hashem is in the ultimate position of power, in vitanuto is that which makes him care most of all about those who are the weakest, right? And so in this pasuk, when this idea of Hashem's anava is again being explained, right, that to Hashem the most important thing isn't how strong you are, right, but how strong your Yirat Elokim is, right? Yirat Elokim not only means fearing God in all senses, but specifically in your ability to imitate God as he's being described in this mizmor. The third section of our mizmor begins in Pasuk Yudbet, Shabechi Yerushalayim et Hashem, Halali Elohayach Zion, right? That Yerushalayim should praise Hashem, right? Going out to specifically the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, Zion, right, should praise God. And Psukim, Yud Gimel Yud Dalet, list for us why Yerushalayim should praise Hashem. Ki chizak b'richei shareich, b'rach banayich b'kirbech, Hashem gvulech shalom, chelev chitim yaspiech. In a pasuk that's like replete with beautiful alliteration, right? The Mishorer explains all of the things for which Yerushalayim should praise Hashem, because Hashem makes Yerushalayim secure. He blesses her inhabitants. He blesses her with peace, and also with bountiful crops, with plentifulness. And this again is an example of the anavah of Hashem, right? The interaction of Hashem with the inhabitants of the earth. Then in pasuk tetvav through yudchet, right? We go back to the gedula, right? The Hashem in control of nature. Hasholeach imrato aret ad mehera yarutz devaro, hanoten sheleg katzemer kefor kaefe yifazer, mashlich karcho chifitim lifnei karato miyamod, yishlach devaro v'yamsem yashev rucho yizlumaim. Here, right, once again, like as I just mentioned, we're talking about the Hashem who controls the laws of nature. Here, right, the rain, right, and all the various things that come out of the sky. Now, right, we're Hasholech Imrato Aretz, right? So Imrato here could, some Mefarshim say, refers to his laws, right, his Torah. He sends his words, his requests, his sayings down to earth. But as other Mefarshim say, this is, again, a metaphor for the rain, right? The laws of nature obey his imra, right? His words that there should be rain falling on the earth, and not just rain, right? Hanoted sheleg katzemer, right? He gives snow like wool. Kefor ke'efer yefazer. He sprinkles like ashes, right? Frost all over the land, Mashlich Karcho Kifitim, Lifnei Karato Miyamod, right? In addition to the rain and the snow and the frost, he also sends down ice, right? Sleet, hail, right? Before which, who can stand before this ice? The last section, we'll get back to the snow in a moment. The last section goes back to the anava, right? Again, the interaction between the divine and the earthly. Magid varav liYaakov chukav umishpatav liYisrael lo asachen lechol goy umishpatim bayedu'um. Hallelujah. Here it's talking about Hashem sending down his laws, his Torah, to human beings, right? Hashem's Torah being the ultimate indication of his involvement with his human creations. This thing that is sent down, his words that are sent down to earth, right here could be parallel to what we saw in the previous section, right? There the Imra being sent down was the rain, and here the Imra being sent down, the Magid, the Dvarim being sent down are the Torah. So once again, we can see the interconnections between the Gevura and the Anava in this section of the Mizmor. In the Gevura section, the Gedula, the Gadlut section of this Mizmor, you know, because it is the section which talks about Hashem's strength, his greatness, it might simply be seen as God's control of downpour in all of its forms, rain, snow, frost, sleet, hail, right? Some of these friendly, like the fluffy, fleece-like snow, and others which feel more like a punishment, right? Like the ice before which no one can stand. But all of these show the power of God, including his ability to melt it all down again, right? As we see in Pasuk Yud Chet. The Radak, if you look at his commentary on this pasuk, emphasizes that some of these things are bracha and some of these are onesh, some are blessing and some are punishment. But even within that perush, there is an indication, an implication that there is a connection between Hashem up there and those of us down there. Even some of the mefarshim who see, even here, right? There are mefarshim who see within Hashem's greatness in the first section, right, an element of his anava, right? Since of course the rain, and even the snow, is a sign of Hashem's benevolence. So, for example, if you look at the Ibn Ezra on this psukim, right, it says he says on pasuk tedzayin hanoten sheleg katzemer, right, he gives wool like snow, hanoten, the Ibn Ezra says biito, right, he gives snow in its proper time, right, biito, that's a term that's usually reserved in the Torah for the rain, right, Hashem's Gishme bracha, his rains of blessing, are the ones which come in the proper time. Biito ki beheyoto rav biyemei hachoref az yihyeh chedev chitim biyemei hakayitz. Right? When do we get the chedev chitim, which the Mishorer mentions in Pasuk Yudalet, just before he mentions the rain and the snow? If the snow, right, and the Ibn Ezra mentions this specifically where the snow is mentioned, not just the rain, if the snow comes in the proper time. And I have it on good confidence from our local meteorologist. We have a meteorologist here in the city of Efrat, Barry Lynn. He tells me that indeed, in some ways, snow is even better than rain for the overall accumulation of water in the reservoirs. Because while rain can sometimes kind of like get washed away and be lost, right, as often happens, for example, in flash floods in the desert, snow, right, which melts slowly, trickles very slowly into the ground and into the reservoirs, and therefore the net gain is greater. And maybe that's why snow is included here, but it is also mentioned specifically by the Ibn Ezra as something which is a bracha. The Radak also mentions in his Perush on Pasuk Tedvav, Hasholeach imrato aretz V'hu amatar sheba be'imrato dvaro, where this is the rain which comes with God's say-so. Mehera ke'evred rats la'sot ritzon av Adonav, right? The rain comes quickly, like a servant, a slave, running to do his master's bidding. And then he continues later on, v'zachar inyan hamatar v'hasheleg hina ki lefi shehem sibat bracha pri adama, right? That the rain and the snow is the reason, right? Like the Ibn Ezra said, for the blessing of the crops, right? Without the rain and the snow, the blessing is less, right? And that is why they are both mentioned here, right? So the rain and even the snow, the commentaries emphasize, are that which guarantee us blessing. And even the dreaded hail and sleet of the next pasuk, even that is eventually melted down into flowing, life-giving waters, right? So even within the sleet, even the ice, that which is unpleasant, there's something good. And if you look closely at the perush of the Radak, you can even find within the sending down of the ice and the sleet and the hail, the benevolent promise of a snow day. Right? What does the Radak say? He says on the pasuk, when the pasuk is mentioning the ice, lifnei karato miyamod, who can stand because of this coldness, the frost, the ice? He says, ki mipnei hakerach nimnaim bnei adam latzet mibatehem v'la'asot melachtam. Because of the ice, human beings are forced to stay home. Right? They are prevented from going out of their homes and to going out to work. So, you know, one might see this as punishment, as hardship. On the other hand, one might see it as the greatest bracha of all. There you have it. Hafochba v'hafochba. What greater sign of God's compassion for the lowly, hardworking human. Wishing you all an Adar Sameach. And as always, a Shabbat Shalom, Umavorach, and maybe Mushlag.